I'm glad to be here. I'm really glad to see you. I'm glad to stand up here this morning. I'm glad to be in the house of God. I'm glad. I'm thankful. And I want to tell you this morning, if I don't tell you nothing else, our God is great. We have an all-powerful, almighty God and Savior. Right? Think about that. Think about that word alone. Just that word. Savior. I need a Savior this morning, don't you? We have one, don't we? He's in heaven. And he rules the earth. And the Bible tells us that. Right? I believe that. I believe that's what my Bible tells me. I believe you're reading out the same Bible I got. That's what your Bible's telling you. Right? So, got a lot of thoughts on my mind. Right? But I want you to know more than anything, our God is great. And if we come seeking and thirsting and hungering after righteousness and seeking him, he's promised that we'll find him. Right? So let's not seek anything of ourselves. Let's not seek anything in man. Let's not seek any of those things naturally here this morning. Because this is not a natural thing. This is a spiritual thing. We need the manifest presence of the Spirit of God here this morning. So keep praying to that end. And I'm going to try to talk about some things that have been on my mind this week. And hopefully the Lord will make them make sense. I want to go to the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter. I want to spend a little time talking about the law and the different types of law. And what the law, when I say the law, chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the corners thereunto perfect." So what was the law? For the law, having a shadow, a law. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to turn to several scriptures this morning. I want to go to Exodus. And 29th chapter. The law was given unto Moses on Mount Sinai and brought down to the people, the children of Israel, after they had come out of the land of Egypt. Now, there was already a covenant established with Abraham before the law, but there was also a covenant established with Moses, and he was given the law. And the law says here, if you look at chapter Exodus 29, verse 36, starting there, it says, "And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it, and thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. 2 lambs of the first year, day by day continually." That's what I want you to hear about that as far as the law is concerned. "Thou shalt offer every day, not one day a week, not two, every day there was an offer, demand, a bullock was offered for a sin offering for atonement. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer in the evening." So every day, twice a day, there was a sacrifice that had to be made, right? Now, if we flip over, if you look at verse 42, it says, This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. So going back to Hebrews, we know that that law, that's a ceremonial law, a Mosaic law was given to Moses. And that's what we're referencing here in Hebrews chapter 10 as we start there in verse 1. So in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1, boy, I flip better sometimes. Here we go. Hebrews 10 verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, meaning in order for a debt to be paid, for a sin debt to be paid, there had to be a sacrifice that was made. That's why God gave us that shadow, that pattern of continual sacrifice. For what? Atonement. Atonement. That was to in the Old Testament verse, it was to cover the sin debt. You committed a sin, that was what had to be done. And the priest did that continually for all of the people. There were individual atonements as well. If you read back in Leviticus there, in where I just was at, Exodus, Leviticus, you'll see all of those different details and patterns. And it was detailed, brother. It wasn't just a show up. It wasn't just a hey. And there were sin. There was laws and atonements for sins that you committed that you didn't know of, that we didn't know of, right? That they didn't know of. Sins that they committed through ignorance. For the law, presumptuous sin, for a sin where somebody followed their own willful way, or did whatever they wanted to do. There was no forgiveness for that sin under that Mosaic law. There was no sacrifice for that. But here it says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Those good things, that good thing to come was the fulfillment of that law. It was a shadow. That law was given to us not to redeem us from sin, but to keep us in remembrance of sin. It reminded us of sin. And that's what it says here. For the law having a shadow meaning no substance, but of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, it could never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the corners perfect. When I was in the army, when we made our bed, we had to make the corners of that bed had to be perfect. Like they had to be a certain, like it had to be at a certain angle. It had to be at a certain firmness, right? Brother Jimmy wasn't good at that. Brother Jimmy made his bed one time and then slept on top of it, right? Just so I could tighten it up, because I could never keep the corners perfect, right? But that's what this law here given to Moses, that even though we sacrifice, even though those sacrifices were made, that atonement wasn't good enough. That atonement in the Old Testament, that testament means covenant. That in the Hebrew word in covenant, for the Old Covenant, right? That covenant was a binding covenant, but it was bound by blood because there was blood required for the atonement. Matter of fact, I want to show you here again where in Leviticus, if we go to real quick, I'm not going to stay over here, but just to point it out, Leviticus 16. Or 17 verse 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the souls. So there was a blood sacrifice required. But this law, again, having a shadow, could never, says never, not sometimes, not maybe, not if, never, could never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the corners thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. So no matter how many times we try to handle something with our, like the point of this, I believe, is no matter how many times we try to handle something with our own righteousness, with something outside of the blood, no matter how good we do, it's never going to be good enough. We're never going to be able to make ourselves clean and acceptable in the sight of the Lord. It's not going to happen. We need a sacrifice. We needed a Savior. We needed a cleansing. How did we get that? We got that here through this blood. And that blood, when it was given to us, We receive it through faith. It's given to us by grace. We receive it through faith. And when we have that faith lets us know, and it gives us that peaceful feeling that we have here in God's church when we hear the word proclaimed and we recognize ourselves as who we really are, which is just sinners and not capable of saving ourselves, and find ourselves totally reliant on the Lord for everything that we have. And how does that happen? That happens through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who chose us before the foundation of the world. He saw us through time in the destitute state that we were in, because by nature we are enmity against God. And by nature, all man, the whole world of man died when Adam sinned, and we died in nature. We died by what I mean is, we're left to our flesh. There's no difference between us and anybody else out there on the outside world that's cursing God right now, other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his love for us that called us out of that and separated us from that. Not because of anything we did, not because of anything we earned, not because Abraham came from this nation or that nation, but because Abraham was chosen of God. Abraham was chosen of God, not because he was special, but because God chose him. And he said, and he made a covenant with him that he said, I will keep you and your people from this time forward. And Romans 4, if we get over there, I don't know where I'm going now, so just hang in there with me. Right? Romans 4 says about Abraham, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. That means that promise didn't come to Abraham because of who he was by nature, because Abraham was just like us. We all were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were all dead. But God, with his excellent foreknowledge and his unbounding love, looked down through time, made choice of us, loved us, and set a purpose and a plan, not a plan, but a purpose plan. It's a different than a man plan. He sent the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There was a covenant established, and Jesus came willingly. He came willingly. He was a willing sacrifice. And that's what I want to tell us this morning, that we have such a great gift that we've been given and we've been shown. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, not because we're worthy of anything. We're not worthy of a thing. God made choice of us and called us and separated us. And the only reason we have any desire to be around him or see him or want to know him is because he reached down and made choice of us first and loved us first and made us alive and opened our eyes. Dead people don't know they're sick, brethren. Dead people don't care. Only sick people know they're sick. Right? You got to be alive to know you're sick. When Jesus came back, when Jesus came down to earth, who did he heal? Who did he heal? Did he go to the people that was doing all right? Huh? Did he go see everybody that had it together? Did he come down and check on this ruler and that ruler? No, what does it say here? It says, let's go to Matthew real quick. Well, I flipped all the way over to the Habakkuk. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee. This is Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He came for the sick people. When he came and his light shone in the world, that's when people knew who they were. That's when he showed himself to them. He reached down to us and made us alive and opened our eyes and made us see how far away we are from him. When he touches your heart and touches your eyes and opens your eyes and you see from what you got in yourself and how lacking it is, and how if you measure up against what you're supposed to measure up against, if you're supposed to do everything the right way and hold it the right way and do this thing and that thing and make sure that you just have enough faith to believe. Because I don't know. If that's it, I'm done. And why did he tell his disciples, you know, why did he say, though thee a little faith? Because that's us. That's every day. We're in this fleshly body. We contend with this fleshly body. We contend with the nature. And the world and some of the doctrines of the world would like to contend to have you believe you are still under the law. That you just got to have enough of this. That you just got to have enough faith. Things ain't going well for you, brother. You need to have a little more faith. Maybe you're not a believer. Boy, I'm going to tell you, if you feel like you're not a believer this morning, you're not alone. Or you feel like you're not saved this morning, you're not alone. That's what I'm saying. We go from day to day. We go from day to day and doubt to doubt. Why? Because of this fleshly nature that we have to contend with. And this old world likes to run us down, likes to run us ragged. It likes to keep us this way. But we have a Savior who has delivered us from this law. Because when we labor under this law of trying to fix things for ourselves, and if we just follow this or follow this or follow that and just do this, then I got it all figured out. No. And you won't believe that you do either. Will you? Because you know it's not just coming to church that gets it done. Because you can make every service. Even if you did, you can't. But even if you did, and if you did it with an unwilling heart, then you didn't do it. Then we didn't do it. And I don't just want to say me and you, because this is all we. This is me. Like, this is me. How many times I've come into the church house just out of the sake of duty. And guess what I received? Nothing. I didn't get blessings out of that. That wasn't a blessing for me. There were times that I was blessed, yeah, despite myself. But God's not pleased when you just serve out of duty. That's not what was asked. That's not what was commanded. God doesn't really give us a whole lot of options in things. There's God's way and a wrong way. That's really what we have with the Word of God. So going back to that law and talking about that law, if we go back to Hebrews, I'll try to reset there here real quick because I want to get somewhere. It says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. It is not possible. So if that law represents all the things that you need to do in order to get right, to take away your sins, guess what? It is not possible for that to happen. You can't do it. It won't take them away. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Jesus, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. God made his son flesh for us. The son was made flesh for us. And it says, verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Meaning that didn't account for it. That didn't atone for it. Those sacrifices that were made of those bulls and the goats and the blood and all of the works of man and all of that could never attain to the perfection that Christ, that God demanded. That sin debt had to be paid. It had to be perfect. It had to be without blemish. It had to be without spot. It had to be without sin. It couldn't be an animal. It had to be us. It had to be one of us. But it couldn't be one of us. Because in Adam, our father, we all died. But God, loving us, made his son. And not only made his son, had an agreement with his son came willingly to earth to be verily God and verily man. That ain't half God, half man. That's all the way God, all the way man, tempted just like as we were. He got baptized, little sister, he got baptized by John, and guess what? Immediately, 40 days and 40 nights in the desert being tempted of the devil. That shows us that baptism doesn't always just lead to a life of luxury. God didn't tell us everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows. It's going to be hard times. Going to be afflictions. We're subject to the body of this flesh. But we have a hope of eternal life. And by hope, I mean a promise from a God who's faithful. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering now what is not but a body, hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Paul says here, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. We are now under, we're not under that law anymore, brethren. That law has been fulfilled. That law has been completed. In John chapter 1, he says here about Moses, he said, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that's the law of love that we're under these days, the commandments of Jesus that have been given to us here in his word, and how we ought to put on the new man, and how we ought to walk, and how we ought to act, because that sin debt's been paid for us, because we don't have to stand and make those sacrifices continually, because we can enter into the earnest of our inheritance, which has been given to us now here in God's church, where we can come in and enjoy these things now. We should walk. In the right way that is pleasing and honoring to God in everything that we do. And there's an instruction book given for us here, right here, this day, with these instructions that tell us how to do that. And that's not to gain our eternal salvation. That's not to gain our eternal life. That's not to reap and that's not to gather up treasures up in heaven so I can have a big mansion over here and you can have a little bitty shack over here. No, we're all heirs and joint heirs. That means we're all getting the same thing, and it's going to be enough, and we're going to love every minute of it, because it's going to be the glory and the praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God Almighty. And one's going to be seated on the right hand of the other. And we're all going to be praising him. And I don't know what it's going to be like, but I bet it's going to be bright. And I bet it's going to be warm. Because where there's light, there's heat. And I think things, we don't know what we shall be. But we'll be satisfied. And that's what we have here. That's what was filled. We don't have that. We're not under that law of sin and death anymore. It says verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. What's that mean? That means exactly what it says. One time forever. No more sacrifice needs to be made. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can what? Never take away sins. Maybe sometimes if you're this, maybe sometimes if that, maybe some, there's no law work that will fill salvation. But this man, these priests, they're standing every day ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He's not waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool. They're his footstool right now. God is reigning today. He is on his throne today. And he does whatsoever he pleases. He's in charge today. He's not waiting to have his enemies as his footstool. But there is an appointed time that he will return to this earth. And he will call us all home to be with him. And as 1 Corinthians here 15 says, and this is good news to me, I hope it's good news to you. Let me get over here. Whew. 1 Corinthians 15 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's the ultimate win. When Christ comes back and defeats death, he's already defeated death. But when he calls us all home and takes us home to be with him, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? Through Christ we have eternal life. And we have a good part. We have it right now. It's just as good today as it will be then. We have it right now. Just as God is on his throne right now. We serve a living God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Who sanctified? Did he perfect forever them, all of them, the whole world? No. Them that are sanctified, those are called. How are we called? By grace. That's how we're called. We're made alive by grace. We're called by grace. And we receive that grace through the measure of faith that he's given us. And that faith doesn't come from, you don't get faith first and then use your faith to get alive. You have faith because you are alive. You have faith because God already made you alive. By grace are you saved. Through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. It says, whereof the Holy Ghost, verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that good news this morning? What is that witness there? He says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, and you see, he'll reference the prophet Jeremiah here in chapter 8 of Hebrews. But I want to flip back to Jeremiah 31 and read that to you. What the Spirit said to Jeremiah, what the word came to Jeremiah here in chapter 31, verse 31. It says here, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. So this is not that covenant. It's not that law, right? It's a new law. It's a new one. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. God doesn't care about who we are in the natural world. He has no respect, no meaning to him whatsoever. We are all the same in his eyes. We are all the same in the eyes of God. We are all little children. All little disobedient children that he loves and has corrected. But ain't it great to know? It says here, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. I will, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and then their minds will I write them. He has taken his law and he's written it on our heart, brethren. So when we hear the word preached, that gift of faith allows us to hear that word that God has written on our hearts as his little children. And every one of his elect sons and daughters, every one of his elect family, he will make himself known to them at some time between conception and death. They will know God. That's a promise. And it's, you know what? It's not just this little congregation and group of people here either. Ain't that great? I wish the building was full, brother. I wish the building would pack up. And not on a day when I have to speak. Mind you. but I wish, hey, so be it. I wish it was full. I wish it was packed up in here. But you know what? God doesn't work that way, does he? God, it's not according to us. It's not up to us. And we can add all the things we want to add. We can do all kinds of things to get all kinds of people. But what would that do? Is that putting on the new man? Is that putting on what's been given here in the Word? Is that the instruction of God? Is there anywhere in here where it says do that? To fill up the house full? No, it tells us all the works of man are dead. That's what it says. It says you can't do anything. Your law can't make the corners perfect, Brother Jimmy. You can't make the corners perfect. You never will. No matter how many bulls and goats and times you show up, and no matter what you do, it ain't never going to be good enough. Why? Because you are sinful, sir. And I say that about myself, but I think we can all apply and realize we're all in the same boat. We all stand in the same need. We all stand. We don't even stand, y'all, if we think about it. When I'm left to myself, I'm a miserable mess and have been and have proved that time and time again over and over to many of you. But the Lord didn't leave me there, did he? He didn't leave us there. He's given us a lot to be thankful for. And he's given us this word here. And he's letting us know that, yeah, your righteousness is nothing. You don't have any righteousness you can claim. But through me, and through me, you do. Through me, you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's like it's like having a big brother. You don't have to worry about anybody. Right? It's like you don't have an invitation in. I'm with him. Right? I'm with God. I'm with him. Boy, you want to touch a better feeling you've ever had walking in with anybody else anywhere ever. To say, I'm with the Lord. And the Lord's like, come on, boy. Woo, that feels good, don't it? Like, it excites me this morning. I'm not trying to be out of line. I'm trying to tell you, we should be happy because of that. We should be happy. Let's flip back here and talk about how Jesus feels about us. How does he feel about us? What does he say here? Look in verse 11 of chapter 2, book of Hebrews. For both he that sanctifieth, who is he that sanctifies? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one God. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Whew, stop and think about that for a minute. He is not ashamed to call us brethren. Isn't that something? I love that thought. I love that feeling. That's a happy feeling this morning. I hope you're as excited about that as I am. I'm moving along. And it says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, that's where forgiveness is. There's no more offering for sin. So our sins have been forgiven us. God has forgiven us of our sins. He paid that sin debt. So there's no more offering for sin. Because once for all. So having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The holiest is before his throne. We weren't able to go before God. There had to be a law in place and there had to be a priest, a high priest that was there that could go in for you, and you could do that once a year. We can do this all the time. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now our high priest and has rent the veil. He separated all that. He removed all that. And it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness, confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By what? By a new and living way. Not the law of sin, of death, and sin and death. Not that old law. But by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us. That means he established it. Through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. Making himself flesh. Let us draw near with a true heart. In full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, where we know we've been forgiven, where we can feel his forgiveness. Where do we do that? Where do we feel that? When we're amongst his saints and amongst his people and hearing his word and praising his name. When we're delighting in the law of the Lord and we're walking in those ways, when we're putting on our armor every day and not the chains of pride, when we're putting on the right things and we're walking with the Lord, and the only way we can walk with the Lord is by staying with the Lord and praying to the Lord and asking the Lord to keep us there, because that's what's going to keep us there. Because if we do our own way and we start thinking and we start relying on ourselves, we'd be like Peter on that water. Peter on that water, when he kept his eyes on Jesus, he stayed up and he was walking. But you have a little thing go this way and a little thing go that way and a little destruction over here and a little destruction over there. What happens to Peter? He sank. We'll sink too, brethren. Let's keep our eyes on God. Not saying we keep our eyes on God all the time, we won't sink, because he reached down and grabbed Peter, didn't he? It's good to have a God that can reach down and grab you when you feel like you don't know. I can't see. My eyes are blind. Like I said, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. It's hard times and afflictions and abasements. But as the Apostle Paul says, no matter what situation we're in, whether times are good or whether times are bad, whether I got food on the table or if I don't have food, whether I got natural things or whether I don't have natural things, let me be for therewith content, because I have God Almighty and He has me. And if I got God, I don't need nothing else, because He'll provide everything that I need. He'll give me everything I stand in need of. Doesn't mean I shouldn't use my brain that He gave me. Doesn't mean but I should be looking and praying and seeking after Him and looking to Him and saying, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? What does the Word say? Let me seek after Thee. Because if I seek after man and I seek after those things, even the doctrines of those things, the doctrines of those gospels of the world, they'll have you looking all over the place for something that doesn't exist, trying to sacrifice something that can never atone for your sin, and you'll never feel it. You'll labor in it. You'll labor and toil and sweat and lay down your head at night and still be just as lost as you did before you didn't do anything. Because that's not where it's at, brethren. The Lord's already taken care of it for us. He's done everything for us. He's given us everything. So let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That's what I was just talking about. Why? For He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's what I want to do this morning. I want to provoke unto love. Because God has loved us, that's how we are to love one another. And that's not just our brethren here in God's church. That's all of God's people. That's how when we walk out of here today, we walk out of here as little children of God. And when we meet other little people in the world, we let our light shine. Why? Because God's been good to us. Because God's given us everything. And because God's given me everything, when I see you and I see you down and out, I need to be picking you up. I need to be saying, brother, it's okay. You need some help, I need to help you. We need to walk that way and talk that way and act that way, because it's what we ought to do, because what God has given us to do. Think about all the things that God has given to us. Should we not be trying to pass them on to everybody else? I say we should. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And get this, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The time is at hand. The time is now. We are in the last days. And we've been in the last days. And we'll be in the last days. No man knows when Christ is coming. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm telling you, times are waxing worse and worse, and you don't have to look very hard to figure it out. So where should we be? We should be here together consistently. When the doors are open, we should meet. We should be here. We should sing hymns. We should pray together. We should hear the preaching of the gospel. We should pray for more preachers to come. We should pray for more people to come. We should be an example. Right, but how do we do that? We don't just splinter and go apart. You go your way, Brother London, and I go mine. And you go your way, Brother Hunter, and I go mine. Right? You go do your little pocket over here and raise your family. I do my little pocket over here and raise. That doesn't work like that. It's not what God told us to do. It says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's not sitting up beating each other up, telling us how bad we are. We already know that. You already know me, Brother London. You know me. A lot of y'all know me. We're not here. We're here to praise God together. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. That's our purpose. That's what we were put here for. And let me say you something. Why wouldn't we want to do that? Why wouldn't we want to be ever? Man, you want to talk about treating people good. You go out here in the world, you put sister or brother before you call somebody by their name. See me if you want to talk to them about it. Think about that. You're going out here in this world, you get on your job, and you get to talk to that person. You, that may come at you a little crossway, or that you know is going to give you a problem. You just look at him, you go, let me talk to Brother Billy. And you call him that. See what that does to you. I know what it does to me. It slows me down. Helps me realize maybe one of God's little children I'm talking to. I better be careful how I talk to him. I better be careful of what position I'm in. Right? I better be careful of how I speak to this little child of God. And I don't know whether he's a little child of God or not. Guess what? It's not mine. It's not mine to attain to. I'm going to give you that scripture and then I'm going to close. Get out of the way. 1 Corinthians. I want to talk to you about that. When we talk about these little children of God out here, God has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And these aren't just Jews that were chosen. It was Abraham's people because they were God's chosen people. We are God's chosen people. They're more innumerable than the stars in the sky or the sands of the seashore. I mean, we can't count them. And right now, I can look around and tell you that Sister Rose right there could count everybody that's in here and tell us how many we got. But that's not God's people. That's not. We like to think it's just the people in here, which is nice. It's easy to be nice to y'all. But it's not easy to be nice out there. Well, how do you know they're God's people? We don't. And here's what it says. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. That's simply saying, brethren, we don't know. So it's not about what they do. It's about what we do. And let's be that light. Let's be that salt. Let's praise God continually. Let's always give praise. Let's never be ashamed. Let us never be ashamed to own the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when somebody says, you look happy, you got all these things going on around you, and you the world said, why aren't you miserable? You look all right. Because the Lord has got me. The Lord has been so good to me. And He's taking care of me. And you'll find that. You'll find that in those afflictions. You'll find that in those troubles. You'll find that in those times. You can have to put down a dog and have your daddy go to the hospital and have things happen to you on Thanksgiving Day and still have a blessed day. And still have a wonderful day. A very peaceful day. Why? Because of you? Because of anything you've done? Absolutely not, brother. Absolutely not. But because we have a great God in heaven who loves us with an everlasting love. And for that reason, we should ever be praising His holy name. I pray that I haven't said anything too awful, off the way, or out of the way. If I have, it was an error. Please come see me about it. Talk to me about it. Don't just talk bad about me. I love you all very much. Pray for this church. Pray for our churches. Pray for me when you think of it. God bless you all. 262.